She's getting old. She actually has a hurt knee. This is our M&M scripture for the month of August, and I've already had some say, that's a long one. And yes, it is, and I'm having trouble memorizing it right now, but it's early in the month, but it's a very important scripture because, well, let me just read it and make a comment. It says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them. And here's the part I want you to see. And reveal myself to each of them. Now, one of the things that I hope you know about obedience, the reason we obey God, the reason we obey the Scripture is because we love Him. You don't obey in order to get saved. You obey because you love Him. But the beauty of that Scripture is it teaches that when you obey Him, He will reveal Himself to you. I have people say, I just don't get God. I don't understand God. But then if they look at their life is just disobedience. And the Scripture teaches that when you disobey, your relationship is harmed. And so the way to really get God and understand Him is through obedience. And as you obey Him, you will see Him as He wants you to see Him. So work on it. It's a long one, and I know, and I started to do John 14, I think it's 15, and it was like, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. But then I thought, no, we need to look at what God does when we obey His commands. So anyway, turn to your Bibles, or turn on your iPad, or turn on your phone. We live in a world where you no longer can say, open your Bibles, without kind of giving a description. I have mine on an iPad, but I also have a Bible that I use that's paper. And I want to talk to you about a TV show for just a second. How many of you have ever watched the show To Tell the Truth on TV? Raise your hand, okay? Basically, the guy that is the host of the show is a guy named Anthony Anderson. He is on Blackish, and he's really kind of a comedian. He's funny. But what the game show is, it's an old game show that has been resurrected. It's an old game show that you have four celebrities, and then you have three contestants that come in, and they have an occupation that you're going to try to guess which one of those three people is actually the person who has that occupation. And they all come on there like they are the one. I remember I was watching one time, and there was one of the contestants was a derby hat maker, like for horse races. That they were the ones who designed them and made them. And so these celebrities were asking questions like, what do you do and how do you do this? And trying to figure out who it is telling the truth. And then at the end of the show, you make your guess who you think it is, and I can't remember exactly how that comes about. And all I remember is at the end, the real one is supposed to stand up, and like several of them will start to stand up, and they're just kind of like this, and you're trying to figure out who's telling the truth, and then finally one stands up, and you either got it or you didn't get it. If you haven't seen the show, go watch it. But one of the things that's hard is to tell who's telling the truth, because some people are so full of bull, they can act like they know what they're talking about and don't know what they're talking about. You ever meet someone like that? Well, to tell the truth, you see it quite a bit. Well, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, is basically saying to you and me as believers in Jesus Christ, what he is saying to us is, be careful what you believe. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you say is the truth. And this message is so important, not just for adults, which it is extremely important for adults, but it's extremely important for teenagers and college students and children, because one of the things in our culture today, they're going to be bombarded with people saying, this is the truth. Your parents say one thing, the church says one thing, but this is the truth. And so your child goes off to college where they think they know the truth, and the truth is, when they get to college, they don't know very much of the truth. And so they have a doctor who has two or three PhDs there saying, well, if you were educated, you would believe this. And you're thinking, oh, I'm not educated. And they believe things that are just absolutely making a mess of our world today. The world is a reflection of what I'm going to talk about this morning. You see, back in the old days, I was a youth pastor, and they kept warning me back then that your kids back then, who would be many of you now, some of you now, they are living in a world where there is no such thing as truth, absolute truth. Okay? Let me give you a definition. Absolute truth is the truth. Absolute truth is truth. But we don't live in a world of absolute truth. They warned me back then, and I've seen it come to fruition. There's another kind of truth that the world believes, and it is the reason we have so many incredible problems in our culture and world. It's a word called, or two words called, relative truth. What is relative truth? Well, it's the opposite of truth. And here's what it said. It's the opposite of truth, and to say that something is relatively true means that it can be true for one person and not for another. That is the world we live in today. And you hear phrases like, and please don't stone me, and please don't get mad at me, please, I beg you, hear me out, let Scripture talk, let God talk to you. But we live in a world that says, live your own truth. We live in a world that says, there is no truth. What is truth is what you believe and what I believe. The problem, that sounds really, really good. It sounds like we can all be friends and sing Kumbaya. But the problem is, how can you have law when one truth is what I believe and another truth is what you believe? You may think the speed limit in a school zone needs to be 20. But my truth is it's 70. And you'd say that's crazy. And it may be crazy, but it's my truth. Try sharing that with a patrolman sometime. Well, my truth is I can go as fast as I want to. That is the problem in our culture. If you want to believe something about your character, whether you're a girl or a guy, whether this or that, it doesn't matter what truth is, because there is no truth in our world. And that's why we have so many problems. Now, I do not want you to think that I'm talking about legalism. And legalism is where you believe Scripture and you're just, you don't believe in grace. And that is not what I want you to believe at all. I want you to, my goal this morning is if you can start trying to read the Scriptures and live by truth, I will be ecstatic. And John, the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, he's going to talk to us about how to live in absolute truth. And he's going to warn us about believing everything we hear. And I always want to preface what I'm going to say with this. When I talk about other faith groups, I want you to understand, I'm not, hear me on this, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to them. Even though I 100% disagree with what they teach. And my goal as a Christian pastor is to try to teach you Christian truth. And my whole life lives and dies on that fact of trying to teach truth versus relative truth. So in a minute, when I mention a couple of groups, I don't want you to think I hate them. I would be friends, and I would do my best to help them understand what I believe. I would listen to them. I have listened to them. And so you'll see where this is headed. So let's read what verses 1 through 6. He says, dear friends, talking to believers, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. And if you notice, the word Spirit is capitalized because it's referring to God's Spirit. He says, you must test them to see if the Spirit, see it's not capitalized. The Spirit of the world is not spiritual truth. It's worldly truth. He says, you must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets. A prophet is a word that literally means one who speaks for God. There are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has, capital S, the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet, if someone claims to speak for God and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist. In other words, he's a counterfeit. He has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming in the world, and indeed is already here. But, and I love verse 4, but you belong to God, my dear children. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit, capital S, who lives in you is greater than the Spirit, little s, who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But, always notice the word but in Scripture, but we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. This is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Man, there's so much I want to talk about. I just hope I have time to get across the important part. The number one thing is found in verse 1. Do not believe everything you hear. That's found in verse 1. Very clear. Do not believe everything you hear. Do not believe every preacher. Do not believe every new teaching. Do not believe every new school thought. Do not believe everyone who claims to speak for the Spirit. And he says this, he says, you must test them. We've got to teach you high school students, you junior high students, you kids, you adults, how to test all this junk that you can Google and get on the internet and hear on TV. You have to test it. You see, when I was growing up, we didn't have that many sources. I mean, I literally Google everything. You're probably Googling my sermon right now, and that's okay. You can go ahead. But the Apostle John begins with a warning, and it literally means stop believing everything you hear. I would say to any kid that goes off to college, I'd say, when you go off to college, don't believe everything you hear, but check it with Scripture. Test it. Because there is a lot of stuff floating around out there that just is not true. And we live in a world where there's two kinds of truth. There is spiritual truth that comes from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then there's worldly truth. And the Scripture teaches in John, John had said early in the book of John, that the one who is of this world is Satan. So the one who comes up with worldly teachings and worldly knowledge is Satan himself. And we need to understand that we're to understand that the Holy Spirit is who we should listen to. And we need to be careful about believing everything that you see on TV. We need to be careful about everything you believe that you hear someone say. And the reason is because some of it's just absolutely from the pit of hell, but it looks like truth. I love what it says in Acts 17:11. It's talking about the Berean church, and he says, "And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the Scripture day after day to see if what Paul and Silas were teaching the truth." I'm challenging you to be like the Bereans who searched the Scripture to look and try to find the truth. Because anything that you hear is only considered spiritual truth when it goes through the filter of Scripture. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, where there's so many people out there claiming to speak for God, you need to really know what Scripture teaches so you can know. You know, there's about five ways you can take in the Bible, and I encourage you to do all five. One is memorize. We challenge you to memorize one verse a month. One verse a month. One verse a month. We challenge you to read your Bible at least 5 out of 7 days devotionally. We challenge you to study. We challenge you to meditate on it. We challenge you to listen. In the early church, the only way they could learn was to listen because they didn't have the Scripture. And the reason is so when you hear something, you don't go, "Oh, good, I want to do that." You go, "Oh, let me see what Scripture says about that." Because Scripture is truth. And so the Apostle John begins by saying, don't believe everything you hear. Test it. Test it with Scripture. But there's a second thing. And this is so important because this determines what truth is. And this is where I want to be sensitive. Do understand this. It is all about Jesus. He says in verses 2 and 3, this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. This is how you know if that TV preacher or that truth you've heard is from God. He says, if they have the Spirit of God, if a person claiming to be a prophet, here's the test, acknowledges that Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming into the world, and indeed is already here. John basically says it all comes down to Jesus. When you hear that preacher, when you hear that group out there, the question you need to ask is, what do they believe about Jesus? Earlier in 1 John, the very first verse, John wrote this, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom you've heard and seen." And listen to what John said. Remember, John was a part of the inner circle. He says, "We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life." And see, one of the things you need to understand is that Jesus was fully human. He lived. He ate. He hurt. He felt. He was fully human, but at the same time that he was fully human, he was fully God. And you say, that's crazy. That's impossible. It's God. Do you want a God who is fully human? Or do you want a God who is fully human and fully God? Which means, if he's fully human, he understands you. And if he's fully God, he has what you need. And John says, you will know the guys who are telling the truth is because of what they believe about Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there are groups out there, and I want to warn you about them. The Mormons do not believe in the same Jesus that you believe in. In St. Louis, when I was at the church in St. Louis, I had them come into my Sunday school class. And they kept saying, oh, we believe Jesus. We believe in your Jesus. They'd come to church. But their history said they were trying to steal people, which they had. They found some Baptists that didn't know what they really believed about Jesus, and they left and became Mormons. Now, Mormons are good people. Don't get me wrong. And I encouraged them to come, and they eventually quit. I played basketball with them 2 or 3 times a week because I wanted to share with them the Jesus I knew, not the Jesus that they knew. But they actually believe that they do not believe in the Trinity. They believe that God the Father is one, and they believe that Jesus is another, and that the Spirit is another, and they actually believe that you'll eventually become a God and have a planet. They're not monotheistic. They would be polytheistic. And so when they come to you and say that they believe, and they've said when they came to my Sunday school class, I believed in the same Jesus that I believed in. And then I asked them a few questions, and it was obvious they didn't. They believed Jesus was started when God had sex with in heaven, and he is a spirit child of God. And they also believe that Satan is his brother. So there's a lot of Jesus you may or may not, but they will tell you that they believe in the same Jesus. They don't. Another group that you maybe have seen is called the Jehovah Witness. They believe, they don't believe that Jesus, they believe that he was Michael the archangel, and that he lived on earth as a man. He lived a perfect life, and after dying, he was resurrected. But his body was destroyed, and you just need to understand that a Jehovah Witness will come to you and say that Jesus is not God. And when they talk about Jesus, and they will talk about Jesus, they're not talking about the same Jesus. The one I got into, and you say, why some teenager might go, well, why in the world would I need to know or care about Jesus? Well, you should for a lot of reasons. When I was at Baylor, and I'm sure I've shared this story before, but when I was at Baylor, my tennis coach, I played tennis for Baylor, and my coach was a cult leader. Now, nobody knew that, but I was the only really believer on my tennis team, and they voted. You know how it is when you're a new guy coming in. They voted that he would be my roommate on our spring trip, and we went for 2 weeks on the road playing tennis all across the Midwest, and they determined, because I was going into the ministry, that I was going to be his roommate. Wasn't that nice of them? Because he had tried to convert every single one of them to a cult called the Way International. And the Way International on the outside looks very, very like a biblical group, but they're not. Their statement about Jesus, they say that he is the Son of God, not God the Son. And anyway, we went on our trip, and I knew he was a cult leader because he had started work on me. So I researched everything he believed. I researched the scriptures about what I could say to him in response to what he was going to try to tell me about Jesus. You know, they have a real hard time with Thomas in the book of John when John comes in there and sees Jesus and he says, my Lord and my God. But anyway, so the first night he was easy on me, didn't say too much. And I can tell you, we were in Topeka, Kansas. And I was in a hotel room with this dude named Rod somebody. I won't say his last name. And he had decided that tonight was the night that he was going to win me to the way. And I'll never forget, I knew as soon, because I knew how they even did what they did, because they'd ask certain questions and all this. And so he started in. And I would reply to him with scripture. Well, he didn't like that. Because see, most of us don't know enough scripture to defend ourselves against someone who doesn't even know what we believe. And so we went through the process. Here I am in this hotel room in Topeka, Kansas, and he's going to win me to the Lord. It'd be a big victory because I was a religion major. And he got to the point, and he loved to tell me with glee, he said, "The word Trinity is not in the Bible." And I said, "And the word air condition is not in the Bible, but we have one in church." You know, you did ever statement, you can come back with statement. And then he did what I had read they would do. He looked at me. He got so mad at me. He looked at me and said, "You're possessed of the devil." Which I'm glad I read, because that's what they say. And then he went off into the bathroom. And I thought, is he going to kill me in the middle of the night? What is he going to do to me? But the thing I want you to notice is that I was not caught off guard. I was ready for him. And the way that you fight falsehood is with truth. And you need to get it right about Jesus, because all the truth in the world in the Bible, without having it right about Jesus, is wrong. If you miss that part about Jesus, it's wrong. So the third thing, truth gives you power. I love what it says in verse 4, "But you belong to God." It literally means in the Greek, you, yes, you are from God. When you become a child of God, when you become a believer, you are a different person. He says, you already have won a victory over those people, those false teachers, the world. You've already won a victory over those people. Because, why? Because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Here's the thing, Christians. You don't need to walk around being scared of anybody who believes something other than Jesus. I know people get all freaked out about Satan and demons and all this. Greater is in you than is in the world. The power of the Holy Spirit lives within me. I have nothing to be afraid of. I have everything to be fired up about. You belong to God if you trusted Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit lives within you. No demon, no Satan, no cult can do anything to you because of the Holy Spirit living within you. It is so important to understand that the Holy Spirit, and that's awful hard to teach Baptists because we're scared of it, it's the power and presence of God in me that gives me the strength to live for Him and to not be afraid and to do what I do. You say that sounds mystical. It is. But without the Holy Spirit, there's no power. You look over here in the Scripture. And the way you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life is, number one, you have to surrender. You say, "Holy Spirit, take over. Jesus, take over. God, take over." You have to surrender. Galatians 2:20 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Remember, we memorized that earlier in the year. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's the Holy Spirit living within you. And then Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses," telling people about me everywhere. People say all the time, "I'm scared to tell people what I believe." It's because you're telling them and not allowing the Holy Spirit to tell them. It's surrender. We don't need to be afraid of a new school year. We don't need to be afraid of our world. We just need to let the Holy Spirit take over. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We don't. Why are we such wimps? We got Wednesday nights starting up. We want every kid that doesn't have a church to come here. We want to feed them. We want to teach them. Child, teenager, and adult. We want every one of them. Why would we be afraid? We have nothing to be afraid of if we allow the Holy Spirit to be in control. And the biggest temptation for you and me is that we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't let the Holy Spirit have control. We allow the world to tell us how to think. And John had already warned us in chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. He said, don't love the world. And remember that the Spirit within you is bigger and greater. Do you have that kind of power? Listen, the church will begin to be like the early church when it gets out of the way of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we'll be talking about budget tonight. The finance team has done a great job of putting together. We'll vote on it without question. Let me tell you what. We've given more money than last year. We're a little behind our financial budget. But that doesn't mean we're behind what we've given. But we've already raised it for next year. You know why? Because we want to do more than we did this year. We want God to do more. And the way you do that is you get out of the way and let God do what only He can do. So the power to live for Jesus is within you. The problem is we don't let Him get loose. Last thing and I'm done. Listen to Scripture, not the world. Boy, this is so important. Listen, teenagers, listen to me. Don't listen to this stuff about you can live with someone before marriage, you can have sex before marriage, don't live the alternative lifestyle. Don't believe any of that stuff about sexuality. Measure everything they say according to Scripture. Be nice to those people who disagree. Love them. But don't believe everything a guy comes out and says is truth. The problem with the church is they beat people on the head with the truth. The world is telling us some incredibly stupid stuff. It just blows my mind. And what blows my mind is how we believe it. So, in your life, here's how you have it. You either are going to listen to the Holy Spirit through the Scripture, or you're going to listen to what the world says. Here's what you can do. You can justify anything you want to do in your everyday life by listening to the world. You can have no boundaries. You can have no standards. You can do whatever you want. All you have to do is say, well, it really didn't mean that. It means this. But if you really want to try to live your life according to God, you've got to turn to the Scriptures. Listen to this. Turn with me. I'm almost done. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. He says, chapter 4, verse 2. Yeah. He says, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. I'd say, to be honest about the truth of the Bible, it's not a favorable thing to do in today's culture. Would that be an understatement? Yes. I mean, you know, I'm just telling you. Patiently correct. Patiently rebuke. Patiently encourage your people with good teaching. That is what I try to do every single week. And then he says in verse 3, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the sound and wholesome teaching. Now look at this. Look at this. They will follow their own desire and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. And then look what he says. They will reject truth and chase after myths. Man, if that doesn't describe our time. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go back one chapter, verse 16 and 17. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. How do you determine truth in your life? Well, according to Paul, Scripture. He says, to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong. Listen, we live in a world where nothing's wrong anymore. It scares me to death. Nothing is wrong anymore. If you believe it, it's true. If I believe it, it's true. That's scary. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. In other words, Scripture. We need to have your kids, your teenagers, and you learning from God's Word how to live in a world that is untrue. We just, you know, in a couple weeks, we're going to open the downstairs and upstairs. My dream would be to fill it with teenagers and kids who get to hear the truth, not from the TV, not from the computer, but from the Word of God. Listen to Scripture, not the world. The world is going to agree with you most of the time. Don't believe what people tell you. Check them by the Scripture. You can believe the truth and not be rude. You can believe the truth and not be ugly about it. And just because someone has a lot of degrees does not mean they know the truth. The problem is, here it is, the problem is we don't know the truth. Could you defend yourself at school, teenager? Could you defend what you believe? Whether it's sexual issue. Let me just get on sex for a second. Sex is the greatest gift given to a man and woman in marriage. See, the church has been, oh, don't talk about sex. Sex is bad. Listen, it's the most wonderful gift between a husband and wife that God gives. But Satan comes along and counterfeits it. Don't believe the lie. Believe the truth. Scripture gives you the truth. There was a theologian, I know you loved to hear theologian, named Karl Barth, who lived from 1886 to 1968. Brilliant man, brilliant scholar. He's a Swiss theologian. And he said this, great quote, it's in your bulletin. Take your Bible and take your newspaper and read both. But interpret your newspapers from the Bible. I'm going to make my own little adaptation. Listen to Fox News. Listen to CNN News. But interpret the truth from Scripture. Did I get everybody on that one hit? I just lost my whole congregation. I'm truthful. If you think your party is always right, you're always wrong. Check your truth according to Scripture. I close with this. Jim Daly said this. He's at Focus on the Family. He says, we are followers of the book, not editors of it. Listen, don't believe everything you hear. Love those that disagree with you, but know what you believe. Truth is a good thing. It's called good news, not bad news. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love, and I thank you so much for your grace, and I thank you for every single person in this room. Kind of my dream for this year is that we would fill Mount Ida, fill this county with the truth of Scripture, and that we would be known for being loving and kind and truthful. Father, I pray just for our church that as we open up, like Julie told me last week, as we open up the new children's area and the new youth area, that we would fill it up. Buildings are no good without people. And people really aren't good without Jesus or the Scriptures. Help us, Lord. Help us to be the people who bear the truth to a lost world. I thank you for everybody in the room. I pray that they would live by truth. In In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of